Hi, Martha. Okay, I'm assuming that you guys can listen to the tape, Martha, and we can just keep a list of all the participants. If you want to go ahead and go to tab 2 of our board package and walk us through a current status update, I'd appreciate it. Martha?
Sorry, I was on mute. The committee currently has $135.3 million, and today's request is for $6,630,400.
Okay, and an extension of an existing allocation. So, are there any questions from the committee members about the current status of the of our remaining balances?
No questions.
None for me, thanks.
Very good. So with that, let's turn to our first applicant, which is Central Oregon Regional Housing Authority. They're doing business as Housing Works. I think I heard representatives from the organization. Would one of you like to make a presentation about your project? And we'll ask questions along the way.
Absolutely. This is Keith Wooden. I'm the real estate director at Housing Works. Can everybody hear me clearly? I hope.
Yep.
Yep. Good, good. So we're excited to present to you an affordable, 100% affordable housing, tax credit funded financed property that we've been working on for several years that's located in kind of Midtown Redmond. And it would be 47 units. One, two, and three bedrooms. For status on this, we've got an application into Oregon Housing Community Services for OHTC credits as well as 4% LIHTC. We've got a signed LOI for equity with PNC. We're going to be working with Mike and his team as bond counsel on the transaction. And we're quite a ways along in the process as far as design goes. We've already got a planning decision. And like I said, we've been working with the city for quite a while. They've been instrumental, and it's kind of been this partnership with the city to revitalize this area of Redmond. So we're pretty excited about putting this deal together. And our rent structure is 25 to 30% below market, and so that's a general overview. I would love to hear if there's any questions about it. We've got some in our packet. We sent over a few elevations and kind of a site plan. It's a single building, double loaded corridor, two story, and it'll be all wood framed, and it will look kind of commercial-like, but be 100% residential, just to kind of keep with the theme and the design that the city kind of wanted for that area, as well as kind of the surrounding businesses. So the site's very good. We already own the site, and we're circling financing and getting design kind of really, really cooking on this, and we hope to get going on this summer under construction.
May I ask a question? This is Laura. As far as your tax equity partner, do you anticipate any changes based on the recent complete collapse of the U.S. economy in terms of the amount of equity that they, I know sometimes banks have haircuts, and I don't know if PNC is going to survive unscathed and whether they'll have taxes to shelter, but are you locked in on that? Could that fall apart for any reason that you could foresee at this point?
Well, we've worked with PNC on probably most of our tax credit deals. We've got a very good relationship with them. We signed the LOI only a few weeks ago, and at that point, they were confident they could execute on those terms. So
okay.
It's very difficult to look into the crystal ball and see, what's gonna come up. But since they
yeah.
they have been a valued partner and have not, once that gets executed, they have not gone back and tried to retrade.
Sure. I understand. This is the most unusual experience in my professional career. So
yeah.
I didn't know if, I think it's great that you're going forward. I don't really have any concerns about your project. I'm mostly worried about if your financing might fall apart between now and it looks like you're looking at possibly pricing in June, July. So,
yeah.
Oregon Housing, have you had a chance to look at this? Do you feel like everything's in order from your perspective in terms of finishing up the tax credit portion of this presentation?
Yeah, this is Brad Lawrence, production analyst for OHCS, and we have received the application for Midtown Place. Like Keith was saying, they're requesting the 4% LIHTCs and OAHTCs, and we have done a review on it. It meets OHCS's requirements. We anticipate the close for this project in July. There's no issues that we found on it.
And you haven't heard any rumors about tax credit partners backing off because of bank losses that we just read about in the paper in the last 24 hours?
No, and actually I spoke with Keith about it in a call, and like he said, the Housing Works has had lots of experience with PNC. He reiterated the same to me that that he's received positive feedback from PNC that they are looking at sticking with the pricing that they've presented.
Great. Questions from other commissioners or committee members, I should say?
None.
I don't have any, Laura. From what I know of the area, at least before the crisis started happening, this is a real need in this area.
Yeah, I would second that and commend the City of Redmond for its real active engagement in this project. Certainly, the Private Activity Bond Committee has a history of prior awards and watching successful execution and delivery of projects on the part of Central Oregon Regional Housing Authority, and I'm looking forward to more of that.
Okay. Is there anybody else in the general public who may be on this phone call who would like to speak before we conclude this part of our agenda? Hearing no, I entertain a motion.
Sure. This is public member Anderson. I move that we advance a current year allocation request to Central Oregon Regional Housing Authority in the dollar amount of $6,630,400 for their, just looking for the name of the project again, Midtown Place Project.
I second it.
All in favor, please say aye. Aye?
Aye.
Aye.
I guess we're done. Very good. Congratulations. Good luck on your project. And
thank you guys so much for your support.
Good luck.
All right.
Okay. Our next item is a 2020 current volume cap allocation extension request from Red Rock Biofuels LLC Energy Project. Business Oregon is going to introduce the topic, and then we'll have opportunity to discuss this with both Jeff Matternick and others from his team. So with that, I turn it over to David Weiss.
Okay, very good. So this is David Weiss with OBDD. Am I coming through loud and clear?
Yep.
Okay, good. So at the last meeting of PABC on January 22nd, the committee approved $15 million in current year 2020 allocation for the Red Rock Biofuels LLC Clean Energy Project. a waste energy facility in Lakeview, Oregon. The allocation has an expiration date of June 20th, 2020 currently. So the administrative rules for PABC state that, quote, issuers may, under compelling circumstances, request an extension of time to their initial 150-day period, end of quote. OBDD is requesting on behalf of Red Rock Biofuels an extension of the allocation expiration date to December 15, 2020. Representatives from the company's legal counsel, and Goldman Sachs are on the phone to tell you more about why Red Rock has requested an extension, but the summary is project delays and the impacts of COVID-19 on the bond markets and the project. OBDD would support the position that COVID-19 qualifies as a compelling circumstance. So to update PABC on required approvals, which have taken place since the January 22nd meeting, first, we held the TEFRA hearing on April 2nd. There was no public comment. Second, we will be bringing this back to our Finance Committee to consider approval of the amended eligibility resolution and declaration of intent if the final amount of bonds requested is more than the $89.53 million we approved as eligible on January 6, 2020. Also, for Red Rock's request for an additional $5 million in agency allocation from OBDD and a bond closing resolution. So we will schedule that meeting after we have the information that we need to understand the hard costs, such as equipment, and financing-related costs, such as debt service reserve of the project. So in our packet, we provided a numbers run which showed total uses of $107 million. This came from Goldman Sachs, and we've been told by Goldman Sachs that these numbers are subject to significant change. So with that, I'll turn it over to Jeff Mantronak, CFO of Red Rock Biofuels, and the rest of the Red Rock team.
Thanks very much, David. I appreciate it. Laura and other committee members, can you hear me okay?
Very good.
Excellent. Well, thanks very much. To the committee members for your time today. We appreciate it. We are here today to ask for an extension, and as referenced, this is primarily coronavirus-driven. Our particular project faces two broad categories of delay. The first one to actually hit us was the meltdown of the tax-exempt bond market itself. And while there are some signs of life beginning to emerge there at the AA and AAA, you know, highly rated end of the spectrum, in our understanding is that still the high-yield portion of that market is effectively frozen. So that's the first element of delay, is that we simply are unable to place the planned issuance for the tax-exempt and the taxable portion. The second is, you know, actual supply chain and site disruptions that are just now starting to emerge. You know, we could kind of feel a shockwave coming at us over the last month from expected delays. Just late last week, we received word from a third-tier supplier, not a third rate, they're a very good firm, but third-tier meaning they're a supplier of a supplier of a, you know, one of our primary project partners. And so run a fabrication shop out in Oklahoma and had workers on the line test positive for COVID-19, and so shut the whole place down. And that's the first concrete example. Now, it also happens to be one for us that is on our critical path, schedule and timeline, meaning that, you know, really every day that they don't ship is a day tacked on to the project. So we expect fully that we will see more instances of that. We have over 100 suppliers and construction contractors, you know, working to supply material and equipment and construction services to us. So that is the first of what we expect will be several delays. Hopefully it's not many delays. The other thing that can happen with supply chain impacts is a direct impact to our site. Right now, as of today, we are still running an active construction site down in Lakeview. We have 60 or 70 folks on site practicing their social distancing with construction special monitors set up, individuals to monitor that distance. But, you know, it's not entirely clear how or when any kind of regulations around social distancing will lift, or, you know, whether even additional restrictive measures might get laid down. It seems like thus far we have avoided that, but it certainly seems like it's still in the realm of possibility that active job sites like ours simply get shut down either statewide or, you know, in some more limited fashion. So there is a heightened amount of uncertainty around timing for our issuance itself, created both by the meltdown in the bond market and then also by, you know, direct impacts to our supply chain and potential impacts to our job site.
Jeff,
so we respectfully request an extension.
Yeah. What would you guesstimate your in terms of completion of construction that you're at right now, percentage-wise?
So we do track that, Laura. And if you'll bear
with me. That's why I use the word guesstimate.
I think we're right at about 54%. But if you'll bear with me for just a moment, I can pull up construction, engineering, procurement, and all of those figures. Now, so construction, we estimate at 54.3%. Fabrication, which involves manufacturing of skidded equipment, for example, from plant process equipment, we estimate at 52.4%. Procurement, which is primarily, let's call it loose equipment under purchase order, is running at about 89%. And engineering is, depending on how you look at it, somewhere between about 93% and 98%. And the depending there depends on how wide a scope or a net you're casting over just kind of the original plan or the fully updated plan. But we are almost all the way complete with engineering, almost no matter how you look at it.
Okay. Could you or Goldman then talk about your ongoing conversations with bondholders? Because at some point you will issue additional bonds. So I know a lot about it because I've been on a lot of calls with Jeff and his team, but maybe for the other two committee members and the rest of the people on the call, could one of you talk about your dialogue and whatever is going on with bondholders? Because at some point you're planning to sell some additional bonds as shown in sources and uses.
That's right. Laura, I'm happy to address it. We have had a good constructive dialogue with our bondholders. In fact, we just had a call with them yesterday, and we'll have another regular – that was a special topic call. We'll have another kind of regular twice-a-month call with them this Friday. We have been presenting, materially the same facts and figures to bondholders that we have been presenting to all of you for the last 4, 5, 6 months. You know, had been targeting a raise right around this time until Corona came around. There have been other delays in trying to pull together updated independent engineering reports, for example. But we're pretty well through the end of that at this point. We're almost complete. So bondholders have been very supportive of the project. We have a trustee council that's been helpful in terms of consolidating and organizing that group and providing a single source of contact and feedback, and multiple times trustee council has indicated that bondholders are supportive and they want to build the project and see it through completion. So on the whole, it's been very positive.
One thing that for the committee members to note, that in the Goldman Sachs runs, they're showing ultimately $40 million in tax exempts, of which our PAB allocation is 15. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, so Business Oregon has allocated 20 and may go an additional 5 based on getting that engineering report completed so they can have a finance committee meeting to make that decision. And those are all future dates yet to be determined. Am I right?
Correct.
That's correct. That's correct. We've approved $20 million so far. There's a request for additional 5, and that will be taken up by finance committee.
And then for the committees, if you'll turn to the pages of sources and uses, there's a significant amount of additional bonds that will need to be done on a taxable basis. And Jeff and team have laid out for you the uses of some of those funds. So I don't know if there's other questions for committee members.
I'd be curious for some observations, commentary on what the general currently prevailing economic disruptions are doing to the outlook for your offtake contracts. I note that oil appears to be trading somewhat under $20 a barrel this morning.
Yeah, I'm happy to address those offtake contracts. So we have had good discussions in recent weeks with both Southwest and FedEx, our two existing offtake partners. And I'll share that just generally speaking, this coronavirus is kind of creating winners and losers all over the map. Passenger airlines are suffering enormously right now. Look up in the skies and you don't see planes flying around, so it's not hard to see. For freight carriers like FedEx, it's been a little different story. A lot of freight is still moving as people ship things around the country. Yes, there's sort of depressed economic activity, but there's a lot of freight still moving. And beyond that, with passenger planes by and large grounded, it takes a significant source of actual freight capacity out of the picture. So that's not to say that a carrier like FedEx is in high cotton, but their impact is far less than the passenger airlines.
Do you also want to mention the fact that you're part of the Defense Strategic Fuel Reserve?
Yes.
Isn't there an angle there as well?
Happy to do that, Laura. So I would just sort of conclude the remark on the airlines by saying, we remain in close contact with them. We remain on track to deliver fuel to them at attractive prices relative to current market conditions. Our offtake agreements with them, you know, are structured to be beneficial to those carriers kind of across a wide range of scenarios. And even at today's prices, you know, they offer a compelling scenario for these carriers. And as Laura mentioned, for what it's worth, we are a Defense Production Act awardee under a contract with the U.S. government in a technical investment agreement. You know, in the day-to-day, it means that we receive award funds and we have project managers over at the Air Force. But being a DPA award recipient also means that, you know, we could, like other firms, be asked by the federal government to kind of change up supply and supply the Defense Logistics Agency with fuel. It carries, sort of rights and responsibilities. But it also means that among lots of different operations out there, we can certainly make a very good case for being a business that is critical to national security. After all, that's the whole point of the Defense Production Act. And so as a participant with the U.S. government in this technical investment agreement, we have at least something that makes us stand out on that front these days.
Did you say to me a week or two ago you thought you were applying for a grant and or one of the stimulus as well?
Or has that correct. That's right, Laura. So we have applied for a U.S. Treasury loan along those lines. That remains entirely to be seen whether that is successful or not. And it's hard enough to win while gambling. I won't hazard a guess on the likelihood of that.
Okay.
Obviously, you're going to need to have those contracts in place before you really do complete your financing. My guess is the bondholders would want to see that. So are your outtake contracts, have they come forward to the future yet? Is that still
yes.
in negotiations?
Yeah, so we did roll one, and they both now have first fuel delivery come June 30th, but we have discussions underway with each of them to roll out into next year sometime so that we can get out ahead of potential coronavirus delays.
Okay. Other questions, Mr. Anderson?
No other questions at this time.
Other committee member questions?
I don't have any questions, Laura.
Okay. I should let you know that originally Jeff was considering just asking us for an extension to October. That was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And in full disclosure, I suggested that given the lack of volume that I was seeing at the moment from specific housing needs, other than the overall large housing need that Oregon Housing has, that we just push him all the way out to the end of the year so he didn't have to come back and talk to us in 3 months because we had no idea whether everything would come together in the summer for him and his team or whether he might need into the fall. So while I didn't want to jinx this project, I just thought to give him the maximum extension that we can offer this calendar year might be of some benefit and use to the organization so they could worry about a lot of other things instead of us. And so just let you know that I was the one who suggested this. With that, I would entertain a motion.
Okay, I'll make the motion. I think that makes a lot of sense, Laura. Thanks for sharing that. I move that the committee approve the extension request through December 15 of 2020 for the $15 million of PAB that was awarded to Red Rock Biofuels back in January 2020.
Is there a second?
Yes, there is. If we could get a written status report prior to our October meeting, that might be of interest.
Okay. I will take that as an amendment to Jean's motion. David and folks at Org Business, if you could just drop us a note to let us know if the Finance Committee met and the status of the project, I would appreciate it.
Okay. Very good.
With that, all in favor of the amended motion, please say aye.
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 I think it's unanimous. Congratulations, Jeff.
And team, I hope that things continue to progress and that you aren't held up too much.
Thanks
by all your
very
suppliers
much.
And sub-suppliers. So
we
back,
hope as much as well.
Is there any other public comment at this time before we adjourn the meeting? Hearing none, I want to thank everyone who's on the call and Martha and Christine for their continued strong good work. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and adjourn this meeting of the Private Activity Bond Committee. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Your conference is ending now. As requested by the host, please hang up.